Scott.
Hello, I'm Julie.
And this is a Good Story is Hard to Find podcast,
where two Catholic friends talk about the books and movies they love and the traces of the one reality that lie below the surface.
Yes, yes. One more time in the room with Julie, in the same room, not in the room that's called the internet.
Yes, glorious.
Yes, glorious. Yeah, yes. happy to be together. And we're going to talk about an Indian movie, which, you know, Julie has brought us several of these, and every one has been enjoyable, without exception.
Huh?
I can't think of an exception.
Yay! So, well, they've been carefully curated,
yes,
I will say.
Well done. And this one is called Bilu Barber, and it was from 2009, starring one of the Khans that we, well, two Khans.
Yeah.
Double Khan. Irfan Khan and Shah Rukh Khan. In this movie that is not an action adventure.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the story of a small town barber who is struggling to make ends meet and his family. And their little village is surprised when suddenly one of the biggest stars in Bollywood, and we're not kidding because Shah Rukh Khan is, and this character is, huge, and he says, let's film part of my newest movie in this little town. So, of course, the town goes crazy, and what you find out is there's a connection between these two people. And so what you see are the expectations maybe of the people around them about access to the famous person. And I don't know, it's just really good. I really love it, and I love the fact that Shah Rukh Khan, who is huge, as we know, and Irfan Khan, who also was so respected, and he was very popular, but so respected as a great actor, they have such different styles, and they both work in this movie.
Yeah.
You know, his style is more quiet. We saw him in Piku when we watched it, where he was the taxi driver, who had a very low-key manner, and that's kind of more his style generally, and we see that in this too.
Absolutely. Are they of different generations? Because I know Irfan has since passed away, right?
Yes, he had brain cancer though.
Okay.
And it was at the beginning of COVID, and he knew he had the cancer coming, and so he had taped a last message for everybody and worked up to the end. But they are the same generation. I think one was born in 65 and one in 67.
Very good. Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah. I mean, not that he died of brain cancer, but
yeah.
So these are two of the biggest stars in a movie that's partially about stardom.
Right.
One of which is playing a star.
That's true.
The star playing a star, Shah Rukh Khan, is playing a mega star.
He's playing Shah Rukh Khan
he's
with
playing
a different
himself.
Name. So, and I was going to say, I forgot to mention when you said two of the biggest stars, and I thought, well, I don't know if in India Irfan Khan was one of the biggest stars, but you know what? He certainly was a huge star because he starred in a lot of Western movies, or was at least in them. They'd need, you know, a guy to play an Indian role. So, what's the millionaire one? The Slumdog Millionaire. Right. He was the police officer
Life
in that.
Life of Pi.
Life of Pi. Oh, that's right. It's been a long time since I saw that. And a lesser-known movie, but by Mira Nair, who did Monsoon Wedding, is the namesake, and he played the father in that. So, and there's just a variety of movies like that where if you look, he would be well-known, at least to Indian or American audiences, they would go, hey, it's that guy.
Well, I like both these guys.
Yeah.
They're a ton of fun. So, poking around in Wikipedia, I noticed that the barber part of the name was actually a little controversy, and they actually dropped it. So, on Netflix, this movie is just called Bilu, B-I-L-L-U, if you're looking for it. No barber. They dropped the name barber, according to Wikipedia, because, let's see. It says, Salon and Beauty Parlor Associations of Bandra, wherever Bandra is, raised objections by finding the word barber derogatory. And I don't know why.
No.
Okay, but anyway, and it says here, so I just learned this too. As the head of the film's production company, Shah Rukh Khan, is the one who removed the name from the title. Mm-hmm. So he's the head of the production company.
The Red Chili's production company. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. And okay. His wife is maybe the president of it. Gari really? Khan. Yeah. Wow.
Well, that's incredible. Yeah. I mean, he seems very busy.
He is. And also, because that's the thing where, especially at that time, you know, 2009, he was in his early to mid 40s. So he was at his zenith for sure. I mean, he's still huge, but he was making 6 movies a year the way you do in India. And then his wife has this production company, or, you know, there's this production company that's also doing other movies.
Yes. So, movies without him in it, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and they do so many movies. We've talked about this before, mm-hmm. but I looked it up. I think he's been in like 112 movies.
Yep.
And there's three being worked on at the same time right now.
I think he's kind of coming back to doing that more. He had 3 out, not this year, but last year.
Wow. Well, that's cool. So one other question that I had, because as I was looking at Shah Rukh Khan's stuff, he has a movie that is coming out this year.
Oh.
When that... Yeah, I mean, obviously, every year he's got something coming out, right? If he's working on so many.
I hope.
But how do you see these movies? Are they available in streaming quickly, or is it a year out? And because you live in a big metroplex, I mean,
yeah.
Imagine sometimes if there's a movie you're genuinely excited about, you actually go to it.
Yeah, we do.
But yeah, so this movie looks very interesting to me. It's kind of a back to the action stuff.
He had one of those last year, too. It was kind of like a James Bond sort of a thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
But in this one's really low-key. Another thing that the Wikipedia entry said is that the advertising for the movie may have been confusing or something, because some people went to see Shah Rukh Khan in this action movie, and it turns out the action pieces of it were little clips of him being in other movies, you know, because mm-hmm. again, we're talking mm-hmm. about a superstar, but the movie itself is pretty quiet. You know what I mean? It's compared to these action adventure movies.
Because it's not his movie. It's not about his character, really. It's about,
and that's maybe
it's about Bilu's character.
Yeah.
And
Bilu is Irfan Khan.
Yeah, Irfan Khan, the barber who lives in the little village with his wife and his 2 kids and always just scraping by, evidently. The threat is a modern new barber has opened up, one whose chair isn't broken, who's, you know, going to show you all the styles. He's got his dolled up hair of his own and everything. And Irfan just seems to keep, I say that, Bilu seems to keep going along. And so I could see why people might have gotten confused. If they're pushing the Shah Rukh Khan angle, mm-hmm. we're seeing high, you know, impact dance, song and dance numbers.
Yeah.
That are ostensibly for the new movie he's filming. Mm-hmm. And all with top female stars in them. But it's, to anybody who knows Indian movies, they're item numbers. They're not about anybody else he's going to see in the movie again. They're just there kind of for entertainment. And let's just say it. If Shah Rukh Khan's in a movie like this, I want to see some singing and dancing. I want to see him being a movie star. Yeah. And he is good at it. There are other songs, and also with some dancing going along, but those are the ones centered around Bilu and his family, and they do move the plot along or tell us how the character feels in traditional musical style that Americans would expect.
Yeah.
And so if you're not expecting as much time to be spent on that, in fact, more than on the Shah Rukh Khan part of it, then you're going to be disappointed, because what we're seeing is this guy is such a celebrity, this big star is such a celebrity, nobody can get to him. And we're not seeing much of what's happening in his life. He's just making the movie or answering a few questions, being nice to people. And Bilu, should we go into...
Yeah, please.
Okay.
Yeah, so Bilu, yeah, he's a barber.
Past spoilers.
And past spoilers here, but yeah, he's a barber and he's getting along, like you said, he's just plugging along. And then Shah Rukh Khan, his next movie is going to be filmed in town.
And that's when his wife and kids suddenly go, can we meet him? When Uncle Sahir comes, mm-hmm. which would be the Indian tradition of, you know, he's such a close friend that he's like a real relative, then we'll get to meet him and we can maybe take him to school. And the wife's like, oh, I can't wait to meet brother-in-law Sahir, again, an Indian tradition of it's as if he's family. And Bilu, at first, so we're surprised, like, wait, what? And Bilu's like, oh, no, that's not going to happen. Don't even think about it. And what becomes revealed is that he's told them that he's friends with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they start wanting to meet him, of course. And then they, in their excitement, start telling everybody they know in the little village that they're best friends, and they're exaggerating the way you do because you want to be even more important. And the next thing Bilu knows, everybody he knows, except for one guy, that older guy who he called uncle, meaning an older friend who's like doling out some wisdom on the way, is wanting to meet him and going, I would like to sell him some songs for his movie, and I would like to have dinner with him and talk about a business deal. And so he's getting pressure from everywhere, and people are starting to give him gifts. People are giving his wife lots of food so they could get an autograph from him.
Yeah, and to be clear, this is Bilu that people are giving gifts to.
I'm sorry.
Right?
Yeah.
Because they want to meet Sahir Khan. And they said, this is our way in. And so here's this lovely gift. And
you're right. I didn't make that clear.
Just to make it clear. Yeah. I want to make sure. Yep.
Yeah.
But that's great.
So he is being, he's really putting off any attempts for this until it gets to the point where I believe it's the fact that the local school wants Sahir Khan to show up for their end of school event, their Golden Jubilee. And they tell the wife, we will pay for these kids' school through the 12th grade. And they haven't been able to make their school payments, so they've been threatening to kick the kids out of school anytime. All we need is for this guy to show up and just talk for a few minutes. And she's like, easy peasy, tells her husband, who's like, why did you promise that? And he finally starts saying a little of what he's thinking, which is, he won't even recognize me.
Mm-hmm. He's not going to remember
me. He's big and famous. And he doesn't spell it out, really. You have to kind of pick it up. But she starts going, well, then you better get going, because this is about your kids and it's about your reputation and all these things. So he's getting tons of pressure from his family. His kids won't talk to him. They say they won't eat if they can't meet him. And he reluctantly starts trying to get a hold of him, but he's not used to trying to get a hold of somebody who's that famous. So when he calls and says, tell him Bilu is on the phone, that's not going to cut it with whoever's answering the phone for this celebrity. So he never hears the news.
Yeah. And we never, throughout almost this entire movie, we never see the two together.
No.
So it's, it's not like he's ever with him or was with him at the beginning or anything like that. We never see any of that,
no. But what we do see, and I didn't remember this because I'd only seen it one time before, is at the very beginning of the movie, we see, or after we get introduced to Sahir Khan in a musical number with Deepika, what we see is him saying, well, you've got this musical number, but you don't have a plot to go with the movie. What are you going to do? And I'm like, oh, we'll come up with something. And he says, how about, this is Sahir saying to his production people, how about the theme of one brother living on a planet, because this is a science fiction movie, who sets out to look for his twin. It's a reunion of two lost brothers. And so this is the theme for the entire movie, because what we find out at the very end of the movie is Sahir Khan has been trying ever since he got famous to find Bilu, who was the best friend, who was the wind beneath his wings. I mean, he gave him his lunch, he cut his hair, he teased him into mimicking powers to practice acting and everything, gave him, sold his shirt or his gold earrings to send him off on the bus to go to Bollywood, and said, just pass it forward, pal. So, but when Sahir tries to find him, he can't. Mm-hmm. He discovers that Bilu has married a girl from a different caste. And oh, holy moly, have I seen some movies about caste and what your family will do to keep you from doing that.
Mm.
Like, they will kill you.
Mm-hmm.
So they run away to a different village, and the traces have been lost. That's how they came apart. And the whole movie is about the reason that this huge star picks this little village is because he knows it's near where Bilu could possibly live, because it's near his old village.
Right.
And it's about the brother looking for the other brother who's lost.
Right. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's really something. Yeah, and you, you know, I, watching the movie, you know, wondered throughout, does Billy really know this guy? But
yeah,
the movie exists, so he must,
right? It's in doubt, right?
Yeah, but it is in doubt, because you never see any actual interaction. He's very timid. He's not... He's like, I do not want to reach out to this guy because, you know, he's not going to remember me. You know, this mm-hmm. is like a kind of a humble thing, but he's afraid. He's afraid to yeah. reach out, you know, because, oh, I'm just going to get slapped down. And when he does reach out, like you said, someone else answers the phone and he's like, can I talk to Sahir? And the guy's like, well, who are you? You know, and then, I'm Bilu. Well, barber. Goodbye.
Yeah, right. I'm a barber.
Right, I'm a
he
barber.
He has a barber.
And we'll see you later, yes. Yeah, because they think, you know, and rightly so, because all that Sahir is getting is people who want things. That's his interaction with everybody that we see him interact with mm-hmm. is people who want stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be cast in your movie, you know,
yeah.
and maybe I want to be your barber, right? So mm-hmm. they're assuming, well, this is what this guy wants. He wants to be his barber, but we already have one, right? So he's not getting through. He's not going to get in any way. But he doesn't do a lot of trying to get on set until later in the movie, until mm-hmm. it becomes this kid's thing comes in. It's like, oh, if my kid's school can be paid for, now I kind of feel like I need to do something, right? But he wasn't willing to do that for anybody. He just kept, and even his wife, he said, don't tell them that.
Yeah.
Don't promise anyone. Why did you promise anyone that, you know? So yeah, he was not for reaching out and trying to get that connection made.
And it's kind of interesting when you say he tells his wife, why would you tell anybody that stuff? And when she says, but now people come to visit us. No one came to visit before because they were desperately poor, yeah. for one thing. But the reason they're coming to visit is it's this kind of celebrity that's false.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of who your husband knows, we're going to do all this stuff. And she's enjoying a little bit of celebrity and a little bit of fun in her drab life. And that is what being around celebrity does, right? It elevates it. We see her daydreams. We see about maybe Sahir Khan would sing her a song, that kind of thing. But it's the same thing that her head is turned by it. The kids love it. I mean, they just want to meet him. But also, they're telling all their friends, and it's going to be great. And this is also with Bilu's friends. But Bilu himself winds up experiencing the problem with celebrity. When people think that he knows that Sahir Khan, they all want to do everything for him. He's very popular, but his head is never turned by it. He's always really got his feet on the ground, I think.
Right. Yep.
He doesn't, he's like, no, no. And he doesn't even often say, I know why you're doing it. Sometimes he says, I don't know why this happened.
Mm-hmm.
When someone remakes his barbershop. Yeah. He enjoys making the money and taking it, a bit more money and taking it home because people are all coming to get their hair done like Sahir Khan.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it goes away, it goes away hard. People say, oh, you don't know him, which is the rumor. Well, then what that means is they start lying about he took money from me.
Mm.
Because they're mad. They want to get revenge because they can't get anything that they hope to get through this association. So then he's thrown in jail. And when he comes home, his wife can't meet his eyes.
Mm.
Because she also has been party to this whole situation, I think.
Yeah.
So he remains the same, but and we often don't know what he's thinking until the very end.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, we don't know what he's thinking. You know, is he just being humble, you know? And he's not, well, when at the big reveal at the end, he did incredible things for this guy.
Oh, my gosh.
And he's not running around telling everybody, oh, yeah, you should see what I did for this guy. You know, I'm why he's where he's at stuff. Even though that's true, he didn't tell people that. That's not what he's running around telling people. So he's humble. He's a humble person. He's not using that before this moment, and even during this moment, he's never used it to try to gain anything.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. Because he is so destitute,
right?
He's on the verge of bankruptcy at the beginning of this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's just, yeah. He was steady.
Mm-hmm.
You know, despite, like what you said, people coming to him, he's like, no, I'm not going to do that for you. Take your stuff back. you know, and they don't, you know, until later on when they're now, you don't, you didn't even know him, right? But he was steady throughout that whole thing. He never once, you know, he could have several times stood up and said, yeah, you know, not only do I know him, but, you know, I am why.
He owes me.
He yeah. owes me, right?
Yeah, I'm none of that. Star.
So he's really a humble dude. He's, and he's steady. He's, like you said, his head was not turned. I liked that statement.
Yeah.
His head was not turned by this taste of celebrity that he was getting.
Right.
You know, yeah. Which it was distasteful to him. It wasn't something he was loving.
Yeah, he was also bemused by it. Like that one thing where they're, the guy is singing the song about the mustache, you know, and we'll sharpen his mustache and we'll do this stuff, which is a song of praise that could be in the movie. And they're all kind of dancing along, the whole village. And he's kind of ducking behind things and kind of looking at him like, I don't even know what's going on.
Mm.
Why would you do this? Because he really does know who he is. And the problem, of course, we find out is he's truly humble in that way. But he has a false humility mm-hmm. when it comes to his friendship with Sahir.
Yeah.
So.
Interesting. Yep.
Yeah.
Did you say false humility?
Yeah.
Okay. Why would it be false?
I believe, unless I'm using false humility wrongly, he said, why would you even remember me? Thinking that his friendship wasn't as important to Sahir as Sahir's friendship was to him. Yeah. He's so important now.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, I was nothing, you know, I was so poor, I was ashamed to have you see me. And so that's not really being humble, to be ashamed to have someone see you because you're doing so poorly.
That's a good
or
point. Okay.
Maybe the other thought I had, though it was never spoken, was if I go to you now, it's as if I want money.
As if I need.
He doesn't ever say that.
Yeah.
So that's me projecting that. But that's the being ashamed part. And so we can't really say he was being humble about his friendship in that way because it was about him. It was about, what is this guy going to think of me?
Yeah. Very true. Because after we saw the movie, I mentioned this is kind of a metaphor for our relationship with God,
mm-hmm.
right? And not in every way. But in that aspect, I find it really interesting. Because, you know, you talk about different castes, right?
Mm-hmm.
How much different castes can we have between us and God?
No.
And there is a... Often, you know, when you get in these things, you know, there is something that tugs, at least it's happened to me, it tugs me back where I'm saying, no, I don't deserve this attention. Or back when things were good, you know, these are thoughts, right? Back when things were good, I was not approaching you. Now that I kind of need you, I want to approach you. But now I don't feel worthy to approach you. You know what I mean?
Because you didn't pay attention before?
Possibly, okay. Right. So something like that. Okay. But it's a block where, you know, if Bilu was feeling, if I go to him right now,
mm-hmm.
it's going to look like the only reason I want to talk to him is the money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a similar thing with God, although it might not be money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. To me, that's what I was, I just felt that during it. No, I mean, just as a thought.
Yeah, no, I could see that. Maybe I don't have enough humility. I never.
I don't know. Maybe it's false humility because that would be about yourself.
I haven't. Yeah, I guess I haven't ever.
It would be
felt
about
that way.
It would be about myself because it's like, when you don't want to confess a sin because you feel ashamed of it and unworthy, that's about me, not God. And that's what you were saying there. So that's kind of a interesting thing.
Yeah.
Because
when I have had hard times, I mean, and you're right, because even during good times, I'm trying to always pray every morning. But is it the deep, sincere prayer always? You know, you fall away from that. You try to get back to it. So not the way it is when you're in hard times. Right. You are direct. You are very sincere. Even as you're throwing yourself on God's mercy, for me, it's always kind of like, and I especially felt this a lot when my mother died, as we went through various hardships coming up to that time. And I would say two or three things hit. And I was like, okay, look, I do not want to do this. I will do this. Because I never really counted on God to just do a miracle and answer this thing and fix this. But it was always like, you know, kind of the if this cup can pass from me. is like, I know that we can do this. I really don't want to do this. If you could make it so we don't have to do this, I would be so grateful. But if you don't, I know it's for my own good.
Yeah, yeah.
And, oh my gosh, three times, those prayers were answered.
Love it.
In different ways. And I'm never going to say it's because I was going, oh, and you don't have to do it. It was God's mercy.
Yeah.
You know, God's love and grace coming through to us. And there probably are other times when, you know, I've been going, oh, well, I haven't been around much and I'm asking. But maybe it's because, I'd like to say it's because I was an atheist or agnostic before and not because I feel like I'm that great at anything. I mean, I just don't ever feel like I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
Or I'm not worthy.
Yeah. I think for me, it just comes from a reluctance to ask for things. Which I think I've grown past. Okay. And I remember John Paul II being, I feel, I may have mentioned this on the podcast before, but I can't find the source and I really need to find the source. But John Paul II was asked about prayer and he talked about how he was reluctant to ask for things, but as Pope, that changed.
Interesting. Okay. I don't remember you saying that. Well, yeah,
but I need to find the backup on that.
Yeah,
and I have looked a little bit, but I haven't tried too hard. But let me see what I can find on that, because that stuck in my head when I read it.
Yeah.
But it was this idea, you know, for him, it was not a humble thing to do, I guess, to ask for things or whatever. But anyway, I don't want to put too many words in his mouth, but in my own feelings, you know, a reluctance to ask for things, in past, you know, I don't feel that shy to do so now. Yeah. And it's not because I feel deserving, right? Yeah. It's because I know who he is, right?
Closer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
He's more of That's a how good I friend. Feel. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But this relationship gap is something that I've felt in the past. I think that's what I'm trying to express.
Yeah.
You know, a reluctance to, even though that could be the solution to a problem, maybe not feeling deserving or feeling like maybe I would get rejected or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever that might be.
And I love that term relationship gap,
because
that's exactly what these two guys have.
Yeah, yeah.
Sahir,
right?
Sorry. Sahir Khan is looking around for this guy because he needs the friendship. For one thing, he loves Bilu. He is his good friend, and he knows it. But also, I would say, when you look at the life we are shown of him as a huge celebrity, we're not shown one person who's close to him who cares about him personally. Now, they're not making that statement about his life overall, but in this situation, for these weeks, he's got managers who care about his schedule. He's got people who don't want him bothered by the phone. He's got the guest house guy who wants to have a role. He has all kinds of people asking for things, but he doesn't have anyone who's his true friend.
Right.
And when he's making that speech at the school and crying and everything, I mean, tears are coming to his eyes because this is my friend.
And that was a beautiful moment for lots of reasons, but one of them is, you know, here he is living this life where everybody's throwing themselves at him and no real friends whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
But inside him is this true friendship, right?
Right.
That is the opposite of everything that we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much from him, because he's been pretty stoic.
Yeah.
You know,
and a pretty nice guy.
Fairly nice guy. People have been throwing themselves at him, you know, and wanting, everybody wants something.
Mm-hmm.
And he handles it pretty well, right? But inside him is this, you know, this loyalty, right?
Right.
This deep loyalty. It's almost like a covenant kind of love, you know, that has been with him for all this time, and a deep responsibility to this other person. And he just can't find him. And he's like, I'm missing that in my life completely.
And to the point where when you watch the movie and you have seen enough Shah Rukh Khan movies, there are all these places where there's all the movie posters that have been put up over each other as new movies come out. These are all Shah Rukh Khan movies, and so Sahir Khan, because they're just using Shah Rukh Khan stuff as the background for Sahir Khan, of all different kinds. And he is huge and well on his way. It's not like he's just a star, although he said after he became a star, he did it. This, he's still looking for him way into his career. Mm. I mean, all these clips they show of this action stuff, I recognize almost all those. They're that famous. Mm. And a lot of the movies, I could think of the name right away. And now in India, everybody's going to know this stuff. So I hadn't thought till you were saying that about how long he'd held this idea of this friendship within him. And the fact that he's naming this village means he's still trying.
Mm.
And he says to his friend at the end, his friend says, well, you wouldn't know who I was, this and that. And he goes, yeah, but you knew where I was. You could find me. I couldn't find you.
Right. You could have found
anonymous.
Me.
You're anonymous.
Yeah.
I was right there. All you had to do was try.
And isn't that a godlike statement?
Well, I'm just saying,
yes, you know, that's what God does.
No, it really is. And it's a statement that struck me when I first watched the movie of, oh, yeah. He's easy to find.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to be to approach him.
Yep.
You know, so that's when you aren't shown a lot into his personality because it all happens at the very end.
Yes. Right.
But then later, what you see is him showing up at the house and being just like a brother to the wife, to the kids. Oh, hi, kids. What are your names and everything? Mm-hmm. And he doesn't give him a present or anything, but his presence is a present. And he tells Bulu, I will come back.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to move. You should move to the old village. That's our village because we have a lot to catch up on.
Mm.
So then I wonder if in the old village he's going to build a house or he's got a house there or something like that. And it's really beautiful because it reminds us, for one thing, both seeing the Irfan Khan thread and the Shahrukh Khan thread, celebrities are real people.
Mm.
And even this huge celebrity has these basic human needs. And he does say this at one point to the school board guy, who's just a jerk. He's like, look, we are real people.
Uh-huh.
And we love little, we take joy in little things and we hate little things,
mm-hmm.
which I kind of like. Cause like you and you're one of the little things. I know you think.
Yeah.
So
get him out of here before I slap him. Right.
Right.
Yep. Yep. Oh, that's nice.
One of the things I was going to say is, you know, I didn't have tons that I had thought of before we watched the movie, except that it was about friendship. And that's, and a friendship like this is rare.
Yeah.
And I had been reminded by a family member, they said, to see these two actors together and then in a movie with this theme is important, you know. And when I was looking up the movie, like you looking at IMDb, I looked on Wikipedia, and this story comes from a Malayalam film from a few years before that. But before that, that story came from a friendship from the Bhagavad Purana.
Hmm.
I'm sorry for how I ruined it. And I'm going to ruin this too. It's a friendship between Krishna and Sudama, which is a timeless tale of unconditional love and humility that transcends vast differences in wealth and status, illustrating that true friendship values genuine devotion and purity of heart above all. And when you read the general overline of the story, you can see what they did with the, you know, one, Krishna is a god. Sorry, it's one of the main gods. And the other one is a Brahmin, a lowly Brahmin, but studying the faith. And when you look then at, when you think about friendship and this idea of the rich and the poor and the differences that divide us and the big city and the small town, like I, for one thing, I thought of us coming together this weekend is I'm from the big city. I'm from Dallas and you're from Logan. And and I can appreciate wonderful things about where you live. I mean, that I can't have. Hopefully you'll visit us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then do the same in the other direction.
You betcha.
But the unlikeliness of our meeting over the internet and actually finally getting to meet in person, it's the joy of taking the friendship to a deeper level.
Mm-hmm.
Even though all we're doing is hanging out and talking. And Scott, by the way, is a great cook on his grill. I'm just going to tell you. He's feeding us like crazy. It's wonderful. But it's all the things that you want in a true, deep friendship.
Mm, yeah.
I mean, You're one of my best friends.
Well,
you're
thank
my
you,
best,
thank you. And back at?
Yeah, well, thank you. You're certainly my best male friend.
Oh, that's great.
Definitely.
Yes,
well,
thank
my
you.
My husband yes. and your wife. We get it. But, and that, yes. also his wife is amazing, by the way. So there we go. But it made me think of, like, the example of friendship in something like Gilgamesh, which we read.
Yes.
And so there's Enkidu, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah,
and there's going to
yep.
be danger. They're going to go into the cedar forest and fight the old monster, whoever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, let Enkidu go ahead of you. He knows the road to the cedar forest. He has seen fighting, has experienced battle. Enkidu will protect the friend, will keep the comrade safe.
Mm.
And it's, you know, he's going to give of himself.
Yeah.
For the benefit of his friend. And I also liked, of course, C.S. Lewis, you cannot ever beat on things like friendship. And from The Four Loves, here's the Christian angle for me in this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I think the fact that it's based in a religious tale from Hindu writings means, you know, it's just universal. God has planted this in our hearts for a reason. Mm-hmm. And they're recognizing this also in this really great movie. So it says, for a Christian, there are, strictly speaking, no chances. A secret master of ceremonies has been at work. Christ, who said to the disciples, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, can truly say to every group of Christian friends, you have not chosen one another, but I have chosen you for one another. Mm. The friendship is not a reward for our discrimination and good taste in finding one another out. It is the instrument by which God reveals to each the beauty of all the others.
Hmm.
They are no greater than the beauties of 1,000 other men. By friendship, God opens our eyes to them. They are like all beauties derived from him, and then in a good friendship, increased by him, through the friendship itself, so that it is his instrument for creating as well as for revealing.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really beautiful.
Yeah. I just mm-hmm. really, mm-hmm. I really liked that.
Yes. As I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Sure has been a pleasure. And will continue to be.
Yes.
So, yeah, and, absolutely.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is, yeah, that this is drawn from some other story, you know. So as you were talking about, I called up a little bit and mm-hmm. the legend is here and everything, but Sudama is a childhood friend of the Hindu deity Krishna. And in their legend, Sudama and Krishna study together as children. Then leading a life of abject poverty, Sudama's wife urges him to go to Krishna and requests his assistance. Yeah, so, I mean, this actually clarifies a little bit of, you know...
the way the story is written.
Bilu's feelings, yeah.
Right.
Carrying some handfuls of parched rice as a gift, Sudama visits his old friend, who receives him with honor. After discerning Sudama's unrevealed poverty, Krishna creates various luxurious palaces for his friend where his hut had stood. Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, unrevealed poverty.
And
yeah.
That's when he says he comes back to his, come back to our village, and we yeah. can spend time together reliving old times and
yeah.
renewing our friendship.
That's right. You know what? One of the things, another thing I was feeling is there is kind of a connection to the last thing we did, you know, all the beauty in the world.
I thought of that too.
Yeah, because it's like, to me, you know, there's probably more than one thing, but it's like the value and the beauty, you know, independent of what the world is telling us all the time. Mm-hmm. And Bilu, of course, is bothered by the poverty because of his family, you know. But you feel that, you know, he doesn't really want to be the barber that was across the way.
No.
He doesn't want to be like that at all. He just wants to cut hair, you know.
Right.
He seems to have a different view of the world than the people around him.
Mm-hmm.
Bilu would never be one of the people that went to someone to ask for help and to give that person a gift for that reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
He was never going to be that guy. So I feel like, you know, he's his, again, his personality is steady, but the connection to what we just read was mm-hmm. something that jumped out a little bit.
Something you just said made me think of another thing that I think we might've talked about this before. Americans in particular have a problem with, which is receiving gifts from people, not at Christmas,
yeah.
but just when somebody wants to help you, you know, we're always, can I help you? What can I do to help?
Mm.
But when you try to help someone. When someone's going through a hard time, at least this is what I've experienced, and you say, what can I do? Oh, nothing, nothing. I'm fine. Don't worry. And I'm like, and I'll say, are you sure? Because if there's something you need, mm-hmm. don't think of it as just something that you're taking, you know, that I'm giving you or you're being beholden for. It's a chance for me to express myself to you.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be able to give. You're allowing me to take that role. And
right.
I also will fall into that trap because Americans, I just think, are very helpful. We are also very independent. And yeah. that adds up to people who don't want to take stuff unless you're bereft. And you think that we should be able to accept these things from each other.
Yeah, yeah. Good point. Yeah, very nice. Yeah, cause I feel like it has come up. I can't remember what context that has, but you're right. There's this allowing someone to give you something or to do something for you mm-hmm. is doing something for the other person. It's a gift. It's a gift in itself.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Good. Great to be reminded of that.
Yeah. And I know that what I've seen or seen suggestions for actually recently when people have had things they needed, the suggestions often like, and this is from Meal Train or something, are don't ask people what you can do. Make a suggestion. Do you need food? Can I cook for you? What about your laundry? I'm going to be home tomorrow. Can I take your laundry? You know, I'm at the store right now. Can I pick something up for you? Mm-hmm. And it's hard to remember to do that. And honestly, it's more inconvenient. It's a lot easier to say, can I help you? And they go, no, I'm fine. And you go, you just let me know anything. Well, that's an open-ended invitation that's not going to be taken up.
Right.
So, I mean, the one person I know who asks us stuff is my daughter, Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she'll say, you know, my husband's sick. I just got sick. This kid has to go to a doctor's appointment. Can you take him? I know it's short notice. And of course we will. You know, yeah. Do we love having to stop everything we're doing? No one does. But often it's not that big a deal. And the things that we're wanting to do, and these are the ties of family. So, of course, that's easy for her to ask and easy for us to say yes. And I have to try to remember, I think, to think of other people more as, what if this was a cousin or a sister or a brother or whatever? Because then you push a little harder.
Yeah, that's true.
You might take a meal even if they don't ask you.
Right.
They don't have to eat it. I don't have to see what they do with it.
Yeah.
But they got it.
Yeah, and this imagining of strings attached. Most of the time, that's not what that person's doing.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I wonder where that comes from. But just independence?
I really think it's the pioneer spirit. You know, you have the barn raising and everything. You're all doing this together. But then you'll go on and maybe do the next barn. But and there may be other things, but I just feel like really blame the pioneers for some of this, you know.
Mm-hmm,
but they also would have community spirit. And I think we've lost a lot of that sense of community, too.
Yeah.
And also we're busy.
True. Yeah, we're so busy. Yep.
It's easier to throw money at something and go, here's a gift certificate for a restaurant, than make a meal and take it to them.
Right. Interesting. Yeah, I haven't really thought about that for a long time.
Yeah. I had a friend who just broke her arm, and so we were all doing it. And I was like, well, I'm cooking for her. She knows I cook, so I'm going to make something for her.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Hopefully she'll like it. If she doesn't, she'll never tell me.
She'll never
It'll
tell
be
you.
Fine.
Right.
She'll know I did it because I love her.
Uh-huh.
That's the whole point.
Yeah. So another aspect is the whole worship of fame.
Yes.
Yeah, which has come up before. I mean, it's quite intense in India. And you know, I've watched some things outside of movies, you know, where... I'm trying to remember, it could have been Shah Rukh Khan, but I feel like it might not have been. There was a David Letterman thing, but wasn't there, it was a birthday.
Featured in the David Letterman.
Was it? Okay.
But they all have it happen.
Yeah.
The big ones.
That's intense. And, you know, we're like, we mentioned some K-pop yesterday talking.
Yeah.
So like BTS.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
That is intense stuff. My goodness. the Beatles, right?
Yeah, right.
Back in the day. So it's not a recent phenomenon, you know. So just very interesting, you know.
Well, we like to have a hero.
Yeah.
And maybe hero is the wrong word when you're thinking of Taylor Swift. But we learn from watching people we admire. And so if somebody's a beautiful singing, dancing, whatever, we like the music, but also we want some of that. We want to be like that. And the way you can, the only way you can be like it, well, you can have your hair done that way. Like all the boys having their hair cut like the movie star, but also then the closer and closer you get to that person, it just, you feel like it's going to rub off.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course, this is all comes from Christ. We should all want to be like him. Not glamorous, oh, unfortunately, but you know, he's the one you want to be. I mean, it's,
The reason I'm saying wow is because we had the reading today, which is really about Christ at the top of the mountain, right?
Yeah.
It was the tough one where it says, you know, if you love your father and mother more than me, then
you don't love me.
Then you don't love me, right? And same with your sons and daughters, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about, it's not saying you shouldn't love your kids or your parents, right? It's saying that there's a right ordered way.
Mm-hmm.
And Christ is the top of the mountain, right?
Right.
And once that is done, then the love you have for your kids and your parents is right ordered.
Yes, and maybe another way to say right ordered would be it's flowing from and through God.
Mm.
And therefore, it is right ordered. But therefore, it is better than it would be if you just straight out love them and God's second.
Mm.
Maybe it's not. I don't know. I think that's... That's what I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And right ordered is, mm-hmm, to me, that.
Right. Yeah.
Because God influences everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So where the celebrities fit in there. You know what I mean? I'm trying to think, you know, if I've felt that way about, you know, well, Emmett Smith, maybe.
Oh, well, who doesn't love Emmett Smith? Too bad my one encounter with him was when I didn't follow the Cowboys.
Really?
They just made it into the playoffs for the first time in forever, and I feel fairly sure this was Emmett Smith. I was at the Disney store at the mall, and there was a very tall, large man standing there buying something, and someone's like, "Oh, do you have a daughter or something?" So somebody else didn't know him, and she says, "Oh, it's for my niece. He's buying her a little watch."
Oh, nice.
And someone come in line near me says, "Oh, well, I hope you do well in the playoffs, and I hope this and that." And everybody's like, "Oh, yes, I saw you yesterday in this." And I was like, "Who is this guy? What's going on here?" And I finally was like, "I think that was a Dallas Cowboy."
That's
and then
cool. Yeah.
I was describing him, and I was like, "What?" Looking at the TV, and I went, "I think that was Emmett Smith." I mean, somebody might hear this and go, "No way!" But
That's fun.
It was funny.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, but I didn't pay attention to football at that time. So
yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm certainly not one who thinks, you know, too much of this stuff, like, oh, it should be banned, you know. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it should be evil or whatever. Or,
oh, no.
You know what I'm saying? But so there's a certain thing, you know, where we have people that we admire.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a bad thing at all. We should admire people that are admirable. And just like the saints, you know, we admire them. And there are aspects of their lives that we may want to take into our own. And it's the same, too, with people that are talented.
Well, mm-hmm, or even just people around you. I mean,
yeah, and people around you, too.
Who are our role models. Yep. I mean, and I've said this.
But the last time I went outside, no one was waiting for me out there.
I was hiding behind a bush because I was shy. But I got your picture. Look at the dog. It was very exciting.
So it's a different level, you know. But definitely people around you, too. I mean, there's so many unsung people, you know, unsung publicly, you know. But I think that that's a reminder to us all that we ought to tell people like that what we feel.
Well, that's true. And the other thing is then, for one thing, it's good to have people who are role models. And it would be nice if all these celebrities were role models in some way.
That's true, too.
That would
be nice.
And most of us, I mean, I'm trying to think of, you know, Shah Rukh Khan. I look at him, and if he was going to be a role model for me in anything, it's his devotion to his wife, who was his high school sweetheart.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And she keeps him on the straight and narrow very gently, as far as I can tell. And that's from watching that David Letterman thing.
Yeah.
But they're a devoted couple.
Mm.
So there are things in different people that I can look at, and I might not go, oh, I want to be like them, or even shake their hands or whatever. But then you start bringing it down to, who are the other people we know? Are there, you know, like people that we meet or whatever? I mean, like, there are people that I know from my church or whatever who I'm like, I would like to be this person in this way. I would like to be like that person in that way. And when I was at Mass with you today, afterwards, you were very kindly introducing me to some people that you knew.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, as involved as you are and the things that you teach people, and you're like, oh, this guy was in RCIA that I taught and this and that. I'm like, of course they admire you. Mm-hmm. Of course they would like to be like you in some way. Mm-hmm. The knowledge, the giving of yourself, the just well, you're just also a nice guy.
Wow, that's
so
nice.
So who doesn't like to be around you? And so you meet these people, and it's kind of like, what are you being admired for? Is it the right thing? Mm-hmm. I mean, because the Cade was his name.
Yes.
Hey, Cade.
Hello, Cade. Yeah.
He was, you know, a longtime listener. He yeah. smiles and shakes my hand. I'm like, oh, but he would feel like he knows me because I share of myself a bit and my feelings, my faith, and with you.
Mm-hmm.
Does he want to specifically be like me? No, but it might be something that he would like to, you know, it's a trend, a theme. You know, you want to be around people who, however they express it,
yeah.
are true to their faith and all those things.
Well, yeah, and as you speak, it reminds me of the importance of selecting the right people, you know. So when you're a parent, you're always concerned about who your kids' friends are, mm-hmm. right? It's like, and I think that that's really important, because if you hang out with the right people, your chances go way up, right? If
right.
you hang out with the wrong people, your chances go way down. It gets really hard, the peer pressure and the thing, you know. So if you know, so there's that. But that extends into life, extends into everything, right?
Yeah, because your best friends, your mm-hmm. really best friends, they support you, but they also inspire you.
Yeah.
And
right.
That's, I think, those, and that's the thing where I think a lot of people, if you say, who's somebody you admire, who would you like to be like, these things, I think they would pick out, I would anyway, different traits from different friends of mine.
Yes, right.
Mm-hmm. And that's really why we're given family and community.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, it goes from there outward.
It's to guide us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean.
Yep.
I love these actors. I don't have, if I was going to admire something, it might be the roles they pick or how they act in them.
Mm-hmm.
Not for their personal life, because that's not the kind of celebrity worshiper I am.
Yeah.
But, you know, last night when we were watching that movie, I'm like, ooh, Farrah Khan choreographed some of this. Let me see what it was. I love right. her choreography.
Yeah.
So I'm enjoying a skill of hers, but it's not to a level that I'm going to base my life on it or bribe somebody so I could meet her.
Yeah, yeah. And there is that's another aspect, you know, like I'm not a musician, I'm not musical, mm-hmm. but I love music, right?
Right.
And yeah, so those kind of admiration is like, wow, look what that person can do.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, that moves me, you know, that's an incredible thing, and way to go, man, you mm-hmm. know, or lady, whatever. But that, to me, I'm not going to emulate that. I'm mm-hmm. not going to try to, because that's not in my wheelhouse. But at the same time, it does inspire me in other endeavors, right?
Yeah.
Creation, you know, creativity.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's fun to think about.
Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, but friends definitely influence each other. Pro and con.
Yeah.
Good and bad.
Yeah, and I really don't, I mean, movies show us about friendship all the time, but this one really at the end is looking at how, I think a lot of times how you, this is, the priest said this morning too, sometimes you don't know how you influence people just by showing up.
Yes.
And that's, I know.
How important it is just to show up.
Yeah, and I know he didn't know he was talking about Bilu.
Right.
But he was.
Yes.
Because Bilu did all those things, but he didn't, and when he's hearing the movie star talk about them, he suddenly, like, it's almost like he's been reminded of all that, and he's like, and he remembered it. but he didn't realize the impact it had on him. Because he did those things for his friend is who he is today.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and then Bilu showed up too.
Yeah.
That's very good. Yeah, he showed up at the end to do that thing, right? And then to give that speech. If he had just said no and stayed with his no, that wouldn't have happened.
Oh, no, not Bilu.
I'm sorry, you're right.
Sahir.
Yeah, Sahir.
Yeah.
Right. Sahir gave the speech. But if he had kept to his no, then that wouldn't have occurred. Yeah.
He allowed himself to be persuaded by a genuine person, right? So he said no because this one guy was a real jerk about, oh, you movie stars, yeah. Because he felt like that made him, the board member, feel more important. Whereas the nice principal comes back and she goes, look, I don't like him either, but here's what you're giving to everybody when you show up.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, okay, I can do it for a few minutes. Yeah. So
lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another great movie.
Oh, I'm glad you liked it. Yes. So many good ones.
So many good ones. Oh, I love it. All right. Okay. So next up for us is Murray Leinster.
Oh,
yes.
Mine.
Right. Talents Incorporated and A Matter of Importance by Murray Leinster.
Yeah.
Old time science fiction.
Yeah. And Murray Leinster is fun. Well, he can write things that are different than fun.
Yep.
Both of these are, one is outright funny, I think. The other has a lot of humorous elements to it. But both of them are showing us different ways to shift your perspective and understand things.
Very good. All right. So. I'm looking forward to those. I think I've read Talents Incorporated.
Oh, I've read it so many times.
Okay, very
And there's
good.
A good LibriVox recording of it.
Oh, good.
Too.
Okay.
Just great FYI.
Great to know. Okay. Well, thanks for listening, everyone.
Yes.
Now we will, Julie and I will go back to our corners. And how far apart are we? 1,500 miles?
Oh,
2,000 miles?
Oh, my gosh. Dallas to Logan.
Probably 2,000.
Some of those miles are hard, man. You are twisting around some mountains.
That's right.
But
mountains
beautiful.
And mesas and
mm-hmm.
fires, because at this time of year we're having fires.
Yeah, we went right by. Yeah. Tom thinks that fire, I took a picture of three fires burning. I meant to show you.
Oh.
And he thinks it was the Cottonwood Fire.
The Cottonwood Fire.
Which is the big one right now.
That's the big one, yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank God everybody's okay.
Yes.
Or everybody here is okay.
Yeah.
I don't know that anybody's been injured in these fires.
I hope
think there's
not.
Been a lot of property loss, but not.
Wow.
Yeah,
yeah,
but I think everybody's getting out
of
the way.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's very good.
Oh, very good. Prayers for everybody involved with that or affected by that. Okay, well, we'll see you in a couple weeks, everybody.
Yeah. Talk to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.